The New Testament reading is John 20, 13 through 17. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not gone back up to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell him that I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And verses 19 through 29. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish authorities, when Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
It is a joy to worship with you. Thank you for coming today. I was counseled by several of our parishioners. "Johnson, don't be nervous. This only happens twice a year. You'll never see this many people again." So I take it under good counsel and authority, but I invite you to come back again, because we're all about good news. So Jesus, after his resurrection, spoke to people in simple, different ways. You heard Jana's scripture, and what he said quite simply in welcome and blessing was, "Peace be with you." Let's try it. So the person next to you is going to say, "Peace be with you." And that person is going to respond simply, "And with you." Let's try it. Try it.
Thank you. It's a good way to start a day. Today, we will understand Easter in trilogy. Trilogy, Latin for three. The trilogy in Easter is past, presence, and future. The divine drama we celebrate today includes the past eyewitness accounts, historically correct day from the resurrection of Jesus. We also just experienced the presence of the cross, and we will celebrate the future today with the Lord's table and living stones. We will witness the eternal struggle, darkness, light, physical, spiritual, body, soul, temporal, and divine. Come along. Let's sense the kingdom of heaven today. We're here for Easter worship. Early Christians, however, after the resurrection, did not celebrate Easter. In fact, they did not call themselves Christians. They were simply called followers of the way. The way of Jesus. The word Easter was invented 1,000 years after Jesus, and followers of the Jesus way spoke of this day in another name. They call it the Feast of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a feast. We invite you to stay after worship today, feast in the present. But just now, let your peace that you have offered transform this worship. Scripture we heard today are redemption stories for us. You see, our worst fears about life vanish, realizing both in the New and the Old Testament, we will not die alone in darkness. Because that cross of Roman murder has been transformed. It's been transformed by Jesus in a profound act of willing love. His sacrifice transformed death into life. Almost like that delicate tulip, dead. Do you have one? That dead tulip that pushes that bloom through the frozen snow, a transformation. The gravestone sealing Jesus's fate is rolled away today. Yes, in our brokenness, denying God in the Eden Garden has been redeemed. For just this moment, remember who you really are. Peter reminds you of that transformation. He speaks of moving from gravestones to living stones. Do you remember that verse? 1 Peter verse 2 says, and I read out of the Aramaic version, which is Jesus' language, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood of believers. King David's Psalm 16 today that we heard predicts this hopeful future also. And again, I've used the New International Version and crosswalked it to the Aramaic version, the language of the day that Jesus spoke. And here is how it sounds. David says, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let the Holy One decay, you fill me with joy in your presence. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a poem of hope? Well, David didn't know about this cross, but he understood perfectly well its construction. Do you see how it's constructed? Carefully, it was designed as a tool of Roman oppression. Some would argue it was used as a tool of terror. But Jesus transforms it into two relationships. David talks about it. The relationship, the horizontal relationship, is us. It's how we relate to the world. It's the one we bless today. Peace be with you. That's the relationship. And in this relationship is doubt and struggle and all those human things that I have, that I debate. Perhaps you do as well. But cross-cutting those doubts in relationship is a straight line. It's a vertical. And that line points to an eternal presence, one that will be there for us. Our redeeming Creator remains in the joyful cross. All you need is a little faith. Jesus reminded us of this divine grace when he, as the living cornerstone of our faith, rolled away a gravestone guarding physical death. Now this sounds morbid. We're celebrating Easter today, but hang with me. We're going to look at Resurrection Sunday through the eyes of four eyewitnesses. The first, you've met them. The first is Mary Magdalene. She was called by some a broken woman. By all accounts, she was transformed. A worldly woman who gave up her ways and followed Jesus for almost 3 years. She's called the first woman apostle by church historians. Then there's John. John, who we read the account today, the one Jesus loved. He was the second one at the empty tomb. And then Peter, big Peter, called the rock of the church by Jesus himself. And then there's this one, Thomas, the doubting disciple who believed. Check out John 20. We didn't read it all. I would encourage you to read that entire passage because it sweeps through a drama unseen in history. It's an empty tomb diary, quite literally, a diary. Remember the passion leading up to this? passage. Jesus betrayed by his friends on Maundy Thursday. Jesus captured and tortured to death for telling God's truth on Good Friday. Christ sold into death for 40 talents of silver. You know how much that is? $8,000 was how much Judas was paid for Christ. Christ came announcing a kingdom of heaven and assassinated a common criminal because he taught us the Lord's Prayer and he taught us the Beatitudes. Same old story, you say. Ah, I've heard it all before. But wait, there's some good news here. There's some good news told to us. Come along, let's sense the kingdom of heaven. First, Mary Magdalene. She comes brokenhearted, seeking her Lord. She watched all of this, and in grief, she stumbles to a tomb hidden in lush, beautiful gardens, given to a penniless Messiah. A massive boulder was placed in front of the entrance of this tomb by Roman platoons. You see, Pilate, you remember him. Pilate ordered a secure burial for this radical revolutionary to avoid any religious complications. Such good planning, wasn't it? Yet this monster stone is rolled away. Mary stands, and a lowly gardener approaches her. Does God have a sense of humor? A lowly gardener dusting the soil off of this Sunday morning approaches. Is he the one bringing us back to the Genesis garden? Is he the one redeeming us? She doesn't recognize the one she loves. Sir, she says, you've carried him away. I'll go with you. I will go get him. The first miracle occurs. Jesus speaks as a master gardener. Listen to what he says. Go and tell the disciples, I am returning to my Father and your Father. Mary gasps. Death's gravestone is transformed. The second scene, not so happy. It's the evening of that same day, you remember. It's in a dark upper room, perhaps the same room, the very same room Jesus gave the first communion. 10 disciples now are quaking in fear for their lives. They've barred the doors. They've locked every window against intruders. And then a presence stands in front of them. It says, the presence stands among them. Peace be with you. We hear this simple blessing 3 times. Then the stone of death is rolled away again. Jesus the Christ says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit, forgive anyone their sins. And he repeats it. Peace be with you. He vanishes. Let's shift to a final drama. This one, so human, yet so divine. Don't you love that picture? It's taken from a portrait on the Sistine Chapel. One of our own painted this. It's a picture of us reaching to the divine. I love it. And so here it happens again. This human drama. 10 disciples now. They're tracking down the one missing. They share the resurrection news with him, and they're met with cynicism, disbelief. After a week of confusion, fear, and doubt now rule. This disciple they find is none other than Thomas. You know him. Thomas the doubter. Is he a little bit like you? So common sense, isn't he? Ah, Thomas, Thomas. He still questions. After 3 years of ministry with Jesus, he's thinking some of this resurrection stuff is hogwash. He might even have been from Missouri. You know, the show me state. Show me, show me. I don't call Thomas doubter. I call him a logical scientist. He wants resurrection proof. Rumors aren't good enough for Thomas. So behind locked doors, here they are, the 10, debating back and forth, denial back and forth. And then we hear it. Peace be with you. Thomas, Thomas, Jesus says, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it here in my side. This empirical scientist takes over. His mind is going. Proof is within grasp. Thomas's experiment shows true. Humbled and awestruck, he says 4 words, "My Lord, my God." Case closed. The physical gravestone of death has been rolled away. And we here in the 21st century, we're left to wrestle with the mystery of spiritual living stones. Yes, we are the living stones that builds the kingdom of heaven. In little ways, every day, we are a gift to each other by the grace of God. Remember, Jesus didn't need saving grace. We do. We need it now. We need it now more than ever. In fact, saving grace is not gifted just to the disciples. It's given more freely to us. Remember the verse Jana read. Jesus leaves his friends with a provocative final thought. He says, "Because you have seen me, you've believed. But blessed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus speaks past the cross, past the tomb, past the disciples. He's speaking to you today. It's pretty simple. Believe, receive, forgive. Believe in your Lord. Receive the Holy Spirit while Jesus is gone and forgive sins. That's a recipe for Resurrection Sunday. Peace be with you. As the elders come forward to prepare the elements for the Lord's table, which we invite all of you to, let's pray together. Let's pray just now. Father God, Redeemer Christ, Holy Spirit working, we pray in thanksgiving for transforming peace, changing gravestones to living stones, for the remission of sins, as Jesus promises in Matthew 26, 28. At the Lord's table, it's a communion for each of us, the saints of the 21st century. We pray for those in doubt today that their hearts be softened like Thomas. Ah, Thomas, who left Jerusalem and traveled further than any disciple beyond the known world to India to found the thriving Church of Jesus there. Yes, and we pray in childlike wonder for those who rush to the empty tomb, like John. For those remaining steadfast, Christ calls us the daughters and the sons of thunder. That playful, loving name Jesus gave to all who laugh and rejoice in this life. And we pray in hope for those who rush back into hiding, like Peter. Yet give them strength to walk from fear into light, to become the rock of this 21st century church. We pray for those who miss the face of Christ, but they see the gardener, like Mary Magdalene, she who later walked out of Jerusalem to tell the good news, starting churches all the way into Europe. And we pray for healing and worship today for those who will partake in the New Testament Jesus covenant to be the light in this sometimes dark and chaotic world of doubt. And finally, Lord, we pray your grace on us each day who have heard the last blessing of the risen Christ. Peace be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
As our elders come forward, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. And as you partake and come back to sit, our chair of worship commission, representing those who put this worship together, will be handing you a stone, a living stone, a symbol for you today of what we're called to do. In Matthew's account, Jesus met with the 12. It was a Passover feast, and Jesus said, "Stop. Listen. This bread is transformed into my body. It's broken for you, for the new covenant." And then Jesus said, "Take this wine, drink it all, for it becomes the blood of the New Testament, the new covenant lamb." And so they did. So we invite you, join us at the Lord's table.